This is a Pinball News production.
For those of you who don't know, I'm Gary Stern, and I'm the president, CEO, founder, whatever it is, of Stern Pinball. And we're very happy to have you here. I use this as my backdrop. I have notes. Wait a minute. You're going to have to excuse me. I'm not very prepared today because I just got off a plane from Italy. We have a commercial show in Italy. Italy's a very important market to us. I've said many times that what we need all three legs of our three-legged stool, and our company strives to fill all the three legs with games. And those three legs are operators, you guys, enthusiasts, collectors, and just general people who want to have a pinball machine in their home. Somebody who's 45, 50 years old, played pinball when he's 20, he's going to tell mommy it's for the kids, but it's really for him, and he's going to get a pinball. He'll never have a lot of them. He'll have one. Maybe he'll trade it in and get a second one, a new one. But mommy's not putting a bunch of games in the house, and he's not, you know, into collecting and everything like you guys are. Come on in. I need more people to talk to. I like to talk. That's why I went to law school. Any event, so I'm not like you, no formal presentation here. How many of you? I understand we had a big group at the factory today. Yesterday, I wasn't there. How many of you went to our factory yesterday? All right, let me do this easier. How many of you didn't go to the factory yesterday? Belt, that doesn't surprise me. Jim Belt, who's our domestic sales, he was not at the factory yesterday, he says. He's kidding, but we weren't sure if he was there or not. There was a body sitting there, but we weren't sure if it was really anything in it. Well, we're glad that you all came. I heard we had the biggest group that we've had in a long time, maybe 300 people. We're very proud of what we do. We're American manufacturers. We make things in America. We don't just design games. We build games. And, in fact, designing is nice. Coming up with a game is nice. But, really, we need to build games so people can enjoy them. You know, guys who may have heard me say this before, those of you who have heard me, guys who are in the men and women who are in the car business, they may love cars, you know, Iacocca or what have you, love cars, but the whole point of this was, you know, you design a car to build it so that other people get to drive it, get to use it, and so you make money building that car so that you can design another car and build it. Well, pinball is the same. This is not a hobby. For us, it's a business. We do this so that we can continue and so we can employ people. And we make a product that we happen to love. But the whole idea is this is a business, and it's run like a business. We have, 200-plus people in our building at any time, and they get their livelihood from what we do. We have probably another 5,000-10,000 people throughout the city or the area, you know, the metropolitan area, who part of their work is based on supplying games to us. Our extended community is very large, and that's American manufacturing. We need to have manufacturing in this country. We can't survive as just McDonald's and things like that. Rob's back in the room. Now, you want to introduce me?
I do. I thought you'd wait for me. Ladies and gentlemen, you've waited 350 days, maybe 348. But I'm pleased to have Gary back. He's been such a support of the Expo for so many years. And for me, the hardest thing in asking him to come is, Gary, I hate to ask, but do you mind if we tour your facility again? He says, am I going to say no? Am I going to say no? No, of course you can. But he's always been very supportive and allowing us to be there. And he's been with us from the very beginning, from the days of Daddy East, always supportive. And I, it probably didn't help that Joe was such an instigator and said, Gary, we can do it, can't we? And what could Gary say? Well, sure, Joe, if you say you think we could do it, yeah, we can do it, can't we? Okay, yeah, we'll do it. But back then, it was a lot of fun, and our relationship has grown to the point where sometimes I will call him. It happened one year, I have to admit. But I called him maybe 3 or 4 days before the expo started. I said, Gary, you know, I never really asked you, do you mind if we tour your facility? So that could have been a little interesting if he had said no that year, but luckily he said sure. So I'm very pleased to have Gary here with us today. He's going to speak about some great old times as well as current times, and then this will lead right into the Stern Party. So, ladies and gentlemen, without further ado, Gary Stern. How's
that? That was good. That was very good. Thank you, Rob. It's always a pleasure. Rob and I meet in all parts of the world because his real business is cups, plates, service stuff for carnivals or for different kind of places. And he's at the carnival shows where the IAPA show, the park show, where we also exhibit our games because we'd like them to be in parks. How many of you have heard me drivel on before? Okay, that's almost everyone, especially my co-workers over there. Thank you very much for the support. I've talked about history before, and I don't know if you're interested in pinball history. I've talked about design philosophy before. I've talked about beer before. I like the beer stuff. You know, we'll talk about beer a little later. I got to write a note here. Beer. That's not my pen. I need my pen. It's magic pen. Beer. So I got to remember to come back to beer. So I think instead I'm just going to, tonight, I will answer questions you might have when I'm done driveling on here. And I'll answer just about anything except what our next game is, because you know I will never do that. And also as to the medieval madness that you see out here, we're the assembler, we're not the manufacturer, so if you have any questions, I see Rick's in the back of the room, and he can certainly field anything about that game. What are we doing here? By the way, this, of course, my backdrop. It's Sam Stern and Harry Williams, and this is from whence I come. My father, most of you know, started as a game operator, then a game distributor, then a game manufacturer, and he became a manufacturer. I'll do this story one time just because I like it. He was a distributor as a 35-year-old punk kid in 1947, went to see Harry and sat behind Harry's desk, kidding around, put his feet up and said, "Why don't you sell me the company?" Harry said, "Well, I'll have to think about that and I'll go up in my airplane." He flew around Chicago for 3 hours and came down and sold my father half of Williams. Since I was two, I've been related to pinball manufacturer. I see the same picture right over there, and then I see Harry next to it over there, and Norm Clark, who was one of our designers in those days, over there. I also see the Ollie picture there, which is a funny story to me. Larry Siegel was working with us, and he goes out to see Ali to take a picture. We didn't have a game, so we took a picture of Ali in front of any game. There was no Photoshop then, but they still could insert the game. And the reason Ali is behind it is that those days he was a little tree trunky, I guess. His legs are a little tree trunky. You can't show the champ like this, so we hit him with a pinball machine. And that's why he's standing behind an Ali, which wasn't an Ali at the time. I'll tell you a little bit. I'm going to do a little bit about what we're doing. We think it's very important that we make games for operators and for enthusiasts and for just people who may want a game. If we don't, you've heard me say this before, and I don't mind saying it again. If we don't have operators with games on the street, then they won't be current, they won't be popular, and they won't be collected. You know, nobody's collecting horses and buggies, they're collecting cars, things like that are current. If they're not pinball, nobody's going to be interested. The guy who's 45, 50 years old, when he goes to buy the game he played as a 20-year-old, he's not going to buy a pinball machine, he's going to buy an old iPhone, okay? Or he's going to think that's the only place pinball machines are. So if we don't have pinballs out there, you guys won't be collecting games. You guys won't be playing games at home. You know, you're young enough, most of you, where it's important what happens in the next 10 or 20 years. It is still, an enthusiast endeavor, that there's still people who want to play these and have them and collect them. But if they're not out there, this is not going to survive just as a collectible. This is not one of those Franklin Mint plates or something like that. It's only going to survive if it's out there as a game, as a real game, if it's made as a game that most people can play, that casual people can play, casual players can play. We're all pretty casual people. I don't have a suit on. So we really need to have games that appeal to all different parts of the market, and that's why we make different kind of games. We concentrate very strongly. Half of our production, more than half of our production, is our pro model. Some of those are bought by homeowners, whether it be just people in their 45, 50-year-old range that want to have a game at home, or some of you, some of our pro games with the LEDs and everything are becoming very, very attractive for your use, in addition to operator use. So those, you know, it's very important that, you know, that we have a good pro game. More than half of our games, more than half of our production is the pro model. Without that, you guys won't have a future. We also make a lot of different games. We have to make a lot of different games, different models. We make three new models a year in two or three variations, in a pro, a limited edition, sometimes a premium. Right now, no, I hope I do this right. Oh, yes, here we go. Okay, so right now we have a logo, because I just showed that. You can see that. So we are making AC/DC, the pro version. We are done making the premiums because our contract runs out with AC/DC at the end of this year. But we updated the pro version. Most of you know this, to have LEDs, to have a bell that swings. And it's a very, very attractive game that way. For you guys, it's an exceptionally good game for the street. We've gone all LEDs. Our games are all LED now. And that does two things. One is it's modern. It makes the game look modern. Originally, when we started playing around with this, you guys were tricking out games maybe with LEDs. Some of our people thought, oh, they're too blue. Well, we got better LEDs. We want that dull, old, ugly yellow color in our pinball machines. It's not modern. It doesn't attract the young people. You put one of these games out with LEDs, the Australians tell me, Norbert here from Australia, I've heard them say they make 20% more money with LEDs than with the... He's nodding yes. Thank you, Norbert. Norbert is the coordinator, the head of the... what's the organization? He does a great job promoting there. Australian Pinball League, which, and he works with the IFPA. God, he does a lot of stuff down there, incredible amounts of stuff. I only wish all of our American... distributors and dealers could do the same kind of promotion. Of course, they have a country to deal with, but they have a country that's got, you know, some people and a lot of kangaroos and what have you, and not a dense population like we have. So in any event, we continue to make AC/DC. We'll be done this year. We'll be sold out this year, or we have to be, you know, we have to sell what we got. If we have a few left, they'll let us sell them next year. But there's no more premiums going to be made. So, and having said that, this is a very nice game at a very good price. Then Metallica, another rock and roll game that we continue to make. We have pros with LEDs. We've added LEDs. We updated it. We don't have any more premiums. So that's what we have in Metallica that we still have available. Good for operators, good for you all, good for the collector. Star Trek, you all know, that's our pro. And that's our premium. Those are the two models of that. We certainly have no of the limited editions, which is normal. Those are gone. Those are sold. Iron Man. Now, Iron Man, we brought out of the vault. We call this the Iron Man Pro Vault Edition. Like Disney brings the old, every 20 years brings out Cinderella or something like that. This is our Cinderella. Why is it? Why is this game so important? It's, I'll say again, easy to learn, hard to master. I'll talk about that a little later. It's really a great pinball machine for the operator. I have operator friends that I've talked to. Some of them are enthusiast operators and competitors. Jim Belsito, he was telling me right before I knew we were going to make this, and he just bought some used from somebody because a game makes great money as an for operators. Many of you have said to me we should make more of it. This is a game that is clearly easy to learn, hard to master. It's fast. It's a little mean. But it's got a monger in the center, spell monger. It's a spell out. There's points on the ramps. You know what to do. The casual player knows what to do. And you guys seem to enjoy it, too. So it's been very successful for us once, and now it's being successful again. We updated it with modern artwork, modernly produced artwork. It's the same art, and with LEDs on it. Once again, everything now is LEDs. Mustang. And Mustang has been really great for us because what we're trying to do here is we're trying to introduce more people to pinball. We have to broaden the pinball market. Again, if we don't keep pinball out there, broaden it, have more people interested, then in 20 years, you guys are going to be collecting old iPhones and playing games on this, not pinball machines. I mean, I promise you that if we don't keep it out there and at a reasonable cost for the operator, it's going to go away. And that, to me, you know, having done this my father before me, that would be, you know, a great travesty. So we're very interested. Maybe that's a royal we. I'm very interested. We're very interested. We should keep this all alive and going. You know, we see many people developing games, Dennis and Greg, Woe Nelly, a few of them, and maybe, you know, as you know, well, there'll be more than a few of them. But many other games in here, other people try to become manufacturers and all that. We're sort of unique in that we're making games for operators too, and for you. We're making games for all three segments of the market as we know it. And here we're trying to broaden the market. We need to keep all three segments with games. So, therefore, we also have a Boss Premium, a Boss being for the Boss Cars, Boss Premium Ford Mustang. Now, Walking Dead is a game that I like them all. Wouldn't make them if we didn't, if I didn't like them. I really like this game. This game is going into my apartment, and I probably played this game. Well, I was just at a pinball show, and I played. I couldn't get to The Walking Dead, so I didn't play it. Well, I was at a pinball show in Manchester, England, not the commercial show in Italy. Well, I'll talk a little about Manchester a little later. I couldn't get to the Walking Dead machine that was there at this the enthusiast section of the show in Manchester. So spent a lot of time playing Circus Voltaire and Spider-Man. It's not quite the same game. But any event, this game was too busy for me to get to. So I've played this a lot at other trade shows and all that as we're setting up and what have you. I really like this game. It is a good game. It's a good game for the casual player. That's me. I'm a casual player. You know, we have to play, and some of you have heard this, during part of the design cycle, we have to play for 15 minutes a day. Each of us is assigned 15 minutes a day to play. So, okay, my 15 minutes, I'm not very good. I am there at my age, old and slow, to play like the guy who's had half a dozen beer, and which is, you know, is our market. There we go again. I got to do this. That's beer twice. I got two beers now. Two beers. Now, we will have beer later here, I know, so that's important. And for now, though, I have to drink something else. That's vodka, not beer. So they were nice enough to bring that for me. It loosens me up when I speak a little bit. So then, I didn't get to play this, but it's got nice shots, great geometry. John Borg did a great job on it. It's got some things that are easy to understand. Spell out, spell prison, spell well. Great mechanical toys on it. The shots are really smooth. They're really pretty. I like them a lot. I like this game. I really, I mean, I It's back. I really like this game. It's too loud. Then we have what you saw in the factory, and this is a really dark picture of the limited edition. And again, you saw it in the factory being built. It's just The Walking Dead Plus, you know, The Walking Dead on steroids. It's really a great, great game. It'll be great for you all. And I see Greg and Dennis sitting back there. You know that we've announced that we're going to build, as a specialty game, Whoa Nelly. We've had, since we did our press release about it yesterday, I got it right. They're telling me I got it right. I don't know what day it is. I've been traveling too much. Since we did our press release, the response from, you know, just people who buy games, general homeowners who buy games or enthusiasts have been great, but the response from our various dealers and distributors is they're really interested in this game and this concept, and back to basics, if you would, but it's a simple back to what pinball was years and years ago. I got a call from Bruce Norbert. Norbert works with Bruce Colburn. I was really surprised and really, really, he's really interested in that. And then I've got a friend who's a sales guy for one of the redemption companies, and he's emailing me, Maniscalco, Tony was emailing me that, I told you to do that. I told you. No. And so I emailed it, Tony, this is a game that's already been out there very successfully. They built four of them, sold them for a lot of money. Not as much as, you know, they should get for the amount of work that they did in this project, because it's, you know, they probably got about 30, 40 cents an hour for what they've done in it. But we're not anywhere near in that kind of price range. We haven't set a price and won't set a price until beginning of the year, end of this year. But the customers that we sell to, the distributors and dealers, have had a phenomenal response on this. You know, they're just excited that we're doing something different like this. So we're doing a lot of different things, a lot of different games. And we've also announced that we're going to go in the accessory business and make accessories with IP, intellectual property of the licensor. So we sent out some information on our first batch of accessories. For Walking Dead, we have a topper with light effects geared to attach to, actuated by the gameplay itself. We have side armor with bloody hands on it because it is Walking Dead. We have wings in the inside of the cabinet that have artwork that match it instead of the plain old black that's up there. And then we've got my favorite, the zombie shooter knob. This is perfect for it and so forth. And we once did a shooter knob as special before. We did Rose on Guns N' Roses, and we sold a bunch of those to Bally Gaming because they used them in a slot machine. And a small aside. Any event, so you know, we've gone into that. We're starting that now. I have a Harley because we made Harley Pinball, and of course, then you know, I got the bug of having a Harley. We would go to Harley shows to sell the Harley dealer shows to sell the pinball machines, and everything was so cool there, and so much of their business is accessories, so that people can customize and trick out their games. Well, you guys all know that you have accessories here, but we have IP. We have the actual Walking Dead artwork and what have you on it that you can't do properly without having the licensor's support. That's the LE version with the accessories on it. Now, as we continue to grow, some of you have heard, of course, that with all these different products, and those of you who are in our factory know that it's very crowded. What you don't know is that we also, because we make all these different versions of games that I just went through, we have to have an inventory of them. This is a change from how the business was in 1947 when my father got into it, into the manufacturing side. And in those days, you built and shipped, and everything 100% was shipped, and you did an inventory. You made one game, you finished it, you never made it again. And when I say in those days, well, those days went for a long time. They went until very recently. In the late 90s, I guess it was, we started remaking games. Williams, with their financial setup as a public company, it didn't make sense for them to do it, but it did for us. So we've been doing it for a long time. Well, what you didn't see is that we do have an inventory of hundreds of games in a warehouse, which will no longer be in a warehouse. They'll be in our building. This building here is in Elk Grove Village. Stop for vodka. In Elk Grove Village. We'll get back to vodka and beer. Beer. That's three for beer. So we are going to move in there probably in February. Now, we want to double our current space. We're 40,000 square foot. We wanted 80. This is 110,000 square foot. That gives us room for inventory, and it also gives us room for growth and other things we might want to do. Most important, and the reason this building was picked, is it has 200 parking spots. We need a lot of parking. We're not a warehouse. We're a factory. We have a lot of people working there. We intend to have more people working there with all the different products that we're making. So we continue to grow. We need places to, we need parking spots for people to come to and park their cars. You look in the city of Chicago, you can find buildings, but you can't find anything with parking. We looked in the neighborhood that we're in. This is 15 minutes away from us. It's better for some of us to get to. For some of us who live downtown, it's impossible to get to. But it's, you know, it is what it is. That's what the world is turning to. So we're going to move out there in February, and we'll have plenty of spots. And next year when you come visit us, we'll be in a new factory, and I hope you're going to enjoy it as much as we do. As I know we will. Now, next thing. Beer. I got three beers, so we can come back to beer. And those of you who've heard me do this before know, hey, Jody, we got beer?
Two kegs.
Two kegs. What kind? How much alcohol?
A lot of alcohol.
All right, what this is about is alcohol. It's about alcohol because, you know, we come from, we being pinball, we come from bars. I used to own bars. And I used to tell my father that I started one step removed from him. He started as a game operator. I had bars. We need to sell liquor. The games are in bars to give people entertainment. Most people don't come to a bar, you guys may, to play the game. They come to drink, maybe meet a girl, but they're afraid to talk to the girl, so they play the pinball machine or the video game or whatever it might be. We got to have games that they can enjoy. Games for the casual player. Games that are not too difficult. Great if they're deep in the back end of it, but in the front end, got to have things that they can enjoy, they can understand. So there's a trend in America for barcades or beercades. And in my area, and I live, do we mark where I live? No, we didn't, so I will. I hope I don't tear everything apart with a wire. I'm about to tear it apart. I live, hold on. There. Right there. Right, I live right above the H. And in my area, in the last 2 years, we have two emporiums, two headquarters, one replay, and one Logan Hardware. It's in Logan Square. You put Logan Hardware. It's called Logan Hardware. It's an old hardware store that was a record store for a while, but if you bought a record, you could play the games for free. And now they moved the records, and now it's just a barcade. Barcade is in a location with 30, 40 upright videos from the 80s, early 90s, Robotron, games like that. Easy to learn, hard to master. And 15, 25 pinball machines, which should be easy to learn, hard to master. The games of the 90s that you might love became too skillful. The player was better then than he is today because he played a lot of pinball. And as the player got better, the designers made it harder. Player got better, they made it harder. Player stayed home. The new player played this, said no. Wasn't fun. And all we're selling here, these aren't hard lung machines. We're selling fun. So we need to make games that are attractive to the casual player. Why the casual player? What is this these places all about? They're for 21-year-olds, and by the way, it's younger than 21 because every 18-year-old in Chicago has a phony ID. They're for 21-year-olds to maybe 35-year-olds, and they're about selling beer. They're not about playing games. They're about selling beer. But instead of having a DJ, this or that, the people go in and they play games. You'll see couples go in. You'll see a couple girls by themselves go in. And of course, you'll see guys go in. But it's not just a bunch of guys in an arcade. On a Friday or Saturday night, you will see a line out front of young people, just like you will in some hot disco. They won't be dressed in their fancy clothes. They'll be just in, you know, jeans or what have you, but you'll see a line there. Now, there's two emporiums in here. Emporiums, Danny, the young man who he and his brother started Emporium, they got an arcade license. Difficult to do. If you have five games, I think it is, in Chicago, you need an arcade license. And an arcade must not be in a business zone, must be in a C-zone, if you can get it at all. And it took them a year, and Alderman's help, they got an arcade license in their bar. They got rezoned into a C, commercial versus business. Their second location, you'll see that Emporium is in on Milwaukee Avenue in Wicker Park. It's in Logan Square. They don't have that many games there. Headquarters is unique. My daughter used to live around the corner from the one on Sheffield, and it started as having two pinballs and maybe 25 video. Doubled its size, they closed their... This is owned by bar people, by people or businesses running bars. And they closed their Uncle Fatty's, the place they had next door, and they put in about 18 pinball machines. So now what's unique is they don't have a arcade license. So three of the games are on pay-for-play. The rest are on free play. So you go in there, you can play pinball all you want for nothing. They'd like you to drink some beer or buy liquor, but they're, you know, most of these places will have two dozen craft beers on tap, maybe a bunch in bottles. So two different kind of places, but both appealing to hipsters or young people or what have you. Very popular and casual players making big money. They open headquarters opened a second place in River North, even closer to where I live. This place is 13,000 square feet, two floors, two bars upstairs, a DJ stand they don't use much, a bar downstairs, food ranging from hamburgers to beef stroganoff. I don't get that, but okay, to beef stroganoff. I was there on Thursday night. Right after they had opened, they got a clicker counting the people, and Eric, the guy outside, told me they had, when I left at 8:15 early, they had 179 people already through the door. Figure, 15, 20 bucks a person. The liquor's expensive in these places. The beer's expensive, craft beer's $8, $9, whatever it is. You know, they already had probably, well, that's almost 200 people. Can I do this right? 10 times 200 would be 2,000. They were $3,000-$4,000 already in the cash register from people drinking in there. These are bar businesses, you know, gin mills, from whence we really came. Ancillary entertainment. Logan Hardware, I mentioned, this is different. Pay to play the games there. This is owned and operated by people who are into pinball. So there's a small video section of old uprights there. There is a lot of pinball machines that range in age, even back to some electromechanicals in operation there. And then Replay on Halstead Street in what we call Boys Town, it's a gay bar, has a couple pinball machines, one of my competitors' game, and 10 or 12 video games. This is a trend, and this is a trend throughout this country. We're seeing these in all the cities, and this is what is going to keep your hobby alive. Because without this or other games on the street, 20 years from now, these games will be broken. Old, you'll put your game in the corner, don't play it. They won't be around. They won't even be interesting. They're only interesting because they're current. All of the publicity about them, all that going on, isn't important. Oh my God! Look at we got celebrities in the back. Hi, Eugene. How are you?
What's going on, Gary?
The celebrity or the pinball stuff? Ah, okay. Thank you. All right. Well, let's talk about one more thing, and then we're gonna take a couple questions and drink beer. Well, you know, you guys have heard me say before. So I got my vodka here, and it's 40%. So I got that much alcohol to there. No, that's vodka. Okay, you want to try it? You want some? Now, if it was beer, one of those beers, this tall, that, you know, very tall, that tall. But if I get a nine to a, I buy by the percentage. I don't buy by the name or anything else. I buy by the percentage of alcohol. If it's this tall, I still got that much alcohol in it, so it's all right. We come from the bar business. That's where we come from. Let's see, what else we're going to do? Oh, that was for something else. So that's typical pinball stuff. That was an old Williams game. With some of you have seen this before. It was called Stormy, and she was a stripper in New Orleans. And that's what it was named for. So any event. As I said, I was out of the country, and I went to the I went to the Northern Lights Pinball Show Festival. And, okay, I thought, okay, we're going to have some pinball machines. There are 125 pinball machines there. A lot of people. It was 4%. I counted the square foot of the place, which must be about 300,000 square foot building that it was in. Easy, 300. We were 4% of it. There was another 4%. There were 90s upright video. Things like Robotron. Ever hear of Robotron? Robotron, Eugene's too busy to talk about it. So, you know, but that's what's in the barcades. They had that same concept there. The rest of this place was other games, was ColecoVision's, current video games, all set up monitors, anime boards with little cards that you play. I don't understand the games at all. I don't understand it at all. But you can see there was 15,000 people that day and a similar amount the next, they told me. They, you know, they get, last year they had 26,000 people. This year, if they thought they'd have more. And there is, oh, by the way, you cannot have a show in England that doesn't have on the floor a bar. And they had a bar, which was right near the pinball. The other thing, though, was there were a lot of newbies playing pinball. A lot of people came for these other games, and they played pinball. You can see that they had, which way did I go? I screwed it up. Here's some of the other type of games that were there. I forgot the name of the game. I'm losing it. Huh? Forbidden Planet, which a bunch of guys made in 2005. John Trudeau designed the play field. Very unique cabinet, very unique game. And I just thought it was interesting. And some of the stuff that Trudeau did on it was fascinating, absolutely fascinating. And, of course, The Walking Dead is so popular worldwide. It broke records on its season premiere this year. Beat Sunday Night Football in this country is amazing. It's just an incredible title in this country, but it's an incredible title worldwide. I was in Italy. They all know it. It is everywhere. Just more pictures of the show, the different kind of things. That's my rental Harley. There was something else here. I don't know what it is. Well, good. I just blew the whole thing. Well, goodbye. What did I do to it? Hey, Paul, I broke it. Here he comes. You shouldn't give me things like this. Any event, there's a lot going on with pinball. You see a lot of it going on here. There's a future in pinball if we keep it out on the street. And if you guys, and when you do your, and I said the same thing to the Northern Lights guys, when you do your tournaments and your leagues and what have you, sometimes if you can get out of your houses, and they got games in the houses, they sometimes take games to a pub themselves, and organize an event. If you can go to pubs, bars, what have you, put seats in the stool, that's an expression from the bar business, seats in the bar stool, and then operators will have to put games there. We have a situation, and Roger Sharp can tell you about it, where one of the operating guys in New York City called Roger and said, "You got to cut out this publicity. The bars are asking for pinball machines. We don't like that." Well, that's what we need to have happen. And so Roger, I hear, said, "Okay, we'll double our efforts and have twice the publicity." So any event, you guys can help your own pinball machines. And I've said this before, by keeping pinball alive, by going out with it, by getting places to put in games, by telling them you'll put seats in the stool, you'll go there, you'll do your events there, you'll come practice there, you'll drink beer there. It's all about beer. Pinball is really all about beer, and that is what will help pinball stay alive. Now, with that, what?
Listed on Pinside, where are you going to be finding them?
Listed on Pinside. Yeah, you guys should list on Pinside where the bars are. They have a locator on there. That's a good point. Good idea. So, I got 5 minutes before we drink beer, but we can talk a little longer. You guys got any questions for me? I'd be happy to try to answer them.
Yeah, you talked a lot about attracting new customers, new casual players. Do you have any plans to replace the current D&Ds, which have been there for quite a while, and all these new players and the new games are often looking at
Yes, yes. You know, just as I won't tell you what our next game is, I'd like to talk about our current games. Because we got great games. And, you know, there's nothing better than Walking Dead. I just happen to love this game. I love the game, casual player. But the answer is yes. When we have done it right for what we're trying to do, we make pinball machines, the game is on the play field. So we have to keep the game on the play field. And it's just like all the interactions, all the stuff that goes on in the dot matrix today is nice. The game's on the play field. But, yes, we have plans. We have things running. We got already, prototypes or what have you. So, yes. Yes. We're a private company. We don't talk about the number of games that we make. I can tell you that our business is up significantly. On the other hand, all of us who survived the Lehman Brothers recession, to survive the recession, you start a business today, you don't have all the history of the recession. but to survive the Lehman Brothers recession 2008-2009, all of our businesses are up significantly if we're still in business. But the interest in pinball, I think the important thing is the interest in pinball is up a lot. And part of it is you know, our games. Part of it is what you all do. Part of it is what Jody does in social media and in marketing. Roger does stuff and so forth. So there's a lot of that. There's just a lot more interest. I mean, we still hear people say, but we hear less people say, you mean they still make pinballs? There are more and more people who understand that. We do still make pinballs. We tell everybody we make pinballs every day. We have a broad library of pinballs, as I've shown you. We have lots of models. We continue to have lots of models. We will continue. We've got to have multiple types of models, pros to limited editions, if we're going to service the different segments of the business, and we've got to have 3, 4, or 5 models a year coming out, 3 from us, 3 titles. If, you know, we ain't going to make it on one title a year. We won't make it on one title a year. We've hired on the last year. We've increased the engineering department, and Paul back there has joined us. We've added a lot of people so that we can make a better product and more of it, and have pinball grow, pay for a new 100,000 square foot factory, 110,000, and so forth. So we're continuing to invest in it and in people. So we do need to make a lot of models. I hope that semi answered your question. Yes, ma'am.
Did you change your mind about zombies being too icky?
Did I say they were too icky? Well, I'm not going to pull out the statistics. What would change my mind is, you know, I believe in licensing. The Walking Dead, that's good. That was a good one. The Walking Dead speaks for itself. You know, this is not zombies. This is The Walking Dead, about zombies. If it was just zombies, okay, yawn. If it's The Walking Dead about zombies, I mean, this show is so strong everywhere. People recognize this, and it's a great theme for pinball. And it's just, you know, it's just, the show is just, the show makes it. And the show also, when you have a licensed title, it gives you ideas, things to do. If you were making a show about zombies, would you put a prison in it? Would you put a well guy in it? No. It gives you ideas. It gives, you know, things to do. The designers get 4 corners within which to design. And the guys who created zombies and write the scripts and all that, pretty smart guys. They know what's going on. So this is The Walking Dead about zombies, not zombies. Anything? Yes.
With the success of Iron Man Vault Edition, can we expect other Vault Editions to be part of a regular production cycle?
Yes. That's an easy one. Yes.
With respect to the accessories, any plans to make accessories for other current or even pre-existing games?
Yeah. Yes. God, you guys are easy. Yeah, no, we have a plan to grow pinball and to grow our business. And it's everything about pinball. I showed you my rental Harley. I'm a Harley guy because we made Harley Pinball. But I saw and we see all the things they do. People want to do things with their games. And you look at Harleys, it's the same thing. You go in a Harley store, we would like our dealers. All right, not that big and everything. We would like our dealers to have stores like a Harley store. Not online, but in a store where you could go play the game and see the accessories all hung there and what have you, and look at it and buy it there and whatever and pick it up. Stocking in there, not everything shipped online. Real stores, it gets more people. More people are going to buy it if they can touch it. Somebody asked today, just a little while ago, their wife wants to play. She's interested in getting an AC/DC premium, but they're, you know, where can they play one? Good question. There's one out here in the tournament, but you know they're here. Great. So, but normally, where would they go play it before buying it? You know, do you go drive a car before you buy it? You know. If this thing really is going to grow, we need retailers who are really, like our game distributors for commercial, have games there. So But the accessories just fit right into that. Something that's in store, and people who, well, if you use the Harley model, people who are into Harleys, people who are into pinball can come together and maybe have an event there or whatever it might be. Any other questions before we drink? Yes.
One of the things I saw at this Pinball Expo, a lot of the new pinballs from first-party makers were incorporating flat screen TVs to show the graphics scoring and all of that. Still primarily used on Matrix displays. You see Stern would be incorporating some of that technology in future pinballs or recently?
We've talked about changing the display. And as to what we do in the gameplay itself, we look at many different things. I will tell you, I have to tell you this, and I tell you this, you know, from my heart of hearts. Okay? Walking Dead is a great game. And right now, that's what we make. I am thrilled with it. I enjoy playing it myself. And we have great plans for the future. But that's a great game.
Production right away.
We in the building that you were in, if you took the tour, we have limited production capabilities per day. How many days we build the game, that varies, you know, in game to game. We will continue to make this game for a number of years, just like we do many of the other games. It's a good game. It's a very good game.
Will you then also make a premium game?
We haven't decided that.
On this third tour, I saw another playfield for this game that was signed by John Ward. And right beside the signature down on the paper, it said premium-LE.
Yeah, it did. Because what we do is that if we make a premium, it will be the same playfield. Other things will change, but the playfield will be the same. And it won't be signed by John Ward, but it will be premium. So, you know, right away the art people... you know, just made it premium LE. They probably shouldn't have done that, but I mean, it's the same play field. You know, you look at the others. So if we decide to make it, we don't have to change the black screen. It already says premium under it, if we so decide.
Yeah. Are you still making Harleys?
No, we're not. That license. But we made that game from 1999 to 2006. Or five, something like that. We made it for a long time. We re-licensed it. It was difficult to do. We made it with 2.5 different versions of artwork. I mean, the last version was totally different artwork from the first. Now, would that be a good game title to make again? That's a thought. Maybe I'd like it, but you know, I don't know about everybody else.
Take one more. You guys are trying to start a party.
Okay, I get one more.
Yeah, the new manufacturing facility that's coming up tomorrow. So we're having an arcade room where we can try out all the different games.
Yes, well, we have an arcade room where we can try out the different games. Yes, we will. What we'll have, you know, I talked about the kind of showroom we would like to see dealers have, and we'll build one ourselves. You know, we know what we have an idea what it should be. So we'll do it ourselves. Why are you pointing at them down there? You have a comment. Is it good or bad?
It's always good.
Oh, okay. Go ahead. Then make your comment if it's good.
Loud. Here, you want a mic?
Adults.
Yeah. Mic. I can't hear you.
How about kids? 7, 8, 9-year-old kids playing pinball.
What are you doing for kids?
Okay. One of the things I saw at this show. I mean, we certainly want the kids in it, though I have to tell you, I said earlier, beer, we're in the bar market. Kids are good. We want to have them play pinball. You cater to them very, very well with what you do. You might be interested at root beer, right. At this show that I was at, they had two games set up uniquely. One had a 360 Xbox controller, and the kids really could play pinball with it. The other had a Dance Dance Revolution floor to play the pinball with. So it was interesting. The kids were very interested.
I'm here to tell you that we are booking birthday parties for 7, 8, 9-year-old kids. They
world championship.
I've been to your location. I've seen people come in with little their little kids and what have you. Absolutely correct. I know.
That is the market to me.
Yeah.
Interesting. Then we got business.
I hear what you say. I understand. We really need to cover all the way across. I'm told that I'm off. I'm off. We got beer to drink. Thank you all very much.